Welcome back to the Red Debate. It's Chris here, and I'm joined by Tom as usual, but also Oliver Gazey, who hasn't been on the podcast in a while, but he's back from Madrid, so I expect to hear more from him in future episodes. It's our 15-minute debate episode. We're going to share our thoughts about the Burnley win, a bit about the Champions League draw, because let's face it, it's a tough one. And then we're going to preview the upcoming Chelsea game, which is the first real test of the season. So, Ollie, welcome back to the podcast. I'll start with you.
So I'll start with the recap of Burnley. The Burnley game was a funny one. It actually got me more excited about our team than the Norwich game. You know, the scoreline was obviously more comprehensive against Norwich, but let's face it, Norwich are rubbish. They're actually my bet to go down this season. And Burnley's a much stiffer test, as we all know what they're like. You know, they did do their usual antics of wrestling, no matter what Jermaine Genus and Sean Dyche want to say. But yeah, really, apart from their offside goal, which was miles offside, by the way, and the one at the end where Ali made an unreal save, we were pretty much unfazed. You know, Matip and Virgil stood up to the test of, you know, their brand of football amazingly well. And I think what was most pleasing to me was that, you know, when you look at the team sheet, that wasn't our best midfield. You know, Harvey's a somewhat we all know how great Harvey is, but he's in somewhat unknown quantity, playing for Liverpool in the Premiership, in midfield, in a sort of an unusual role. And Hendo was coming back in after really not much of a pre-season, but we just did not skip a beat. You know, we played exactly the same way we would have as if our best midfield was in there. So it's great to be able to have, like, these extra boys that we can just call upon when we need them and you can actually trust them. So yeah, that was a plus point. And I think what really typified, you know, just us playing the same way regardless of the team was our second goal. You know, that was just an absolute trademark. You know, Liverpool at their best, moving the ball from the back to the front and to a goal in, say, like in about three or four passes. So yeah, that second goal was really what got me excited about where this team's going and how we can get back to our previous form. So yeah, that was my takeaway from the Burnley game. Now, Champions League draw. Let's face it, that is the group of death when compared to the other groups, in my opinion. So Atleti, you know, they're the recent champions in La Liga. They've recruited really well this summer. You know, the likes of Rodrigo de Paul. They're also absolute bastards to play against. You know, I was at the game when we played them in Madrid and it was absolutely vile football. AC Milan, you know, they're a far cry from the Ancelotti side, but, you know, they're a team back on the up in Italy. They haven't been in the Champions League for a long time. So, you know, they're a team that's in the ascendancy. You know, Zlatan's obviously that unknown X factor. But yeah, so, and also Porto, you know, they are our whipping boys, we'll smash them. But at the end of the day, when you look at that group, if you're a neutral, you're saying Liverpool are the best team in that group. You know, we're the ones the other teams should fear, so we should play like it. And if we take this good momentum into the Champions League, then, you know, I think we'll be fine. It just would have been nice to have Sheriff in there so we can have a bit of an easy one. But yeah, we move on.
Cheers, old Tom. Your thoughts?
So, some quick thoughts on recent events in the world of Liverpool FC. Obviously, I've not yet touched on the Burnley game, which, you know, really pleasing outcome, obviously, to get the 3 points, to get the clean sheet. A quick look at some of the, you know, standout points from the game. Initially, obviously, Tsimikas, I thought, was great yet again. Him and Harvey Elliott both had excellent games. You know, you looked at the midfield beforehand and thought Burnley, Keita and Harvey Elliott are going to be up for one. In for a physical battle. That they certainly were. You know, Burnley weren't holding back. Some big hits on Harvey that obviously identified him, but I thought he equipped himself brilliantly. He was riding tackles, he was driving at them, he was asking for the ball, he wasn't hiding. One of the interesting points to note from the game was some of the positions Harvey Elliott was taking up, which is clearly a training ground thing. You know, obviously this new sort of right of the midfield three position is seemingly new for him, with him billed initially as a right wing forward when we signed him and operating a lot there for Blackburn last season. But interestingly, he was getting the ball in a lot of those areas again, from Van Dijk's diagonals. you know, it's obviously a training ground thing. It sort of, it freed up a lot of space for Trent on the inside right position, with Harvey almost at times feeling like he was a wide right midfielder with Salah ahead of him and therefore in more space, and Trent inside him with space to advance into. You know, I've seen that Harvey's position be called sort of a half midfield position, or almost like a false eight, if you like. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting, and it we used it well. Obviously, the Mane's goal, which was a textbook Klopp Liverpool goal, with Harvey taking it down on his chest off the Van Dijk pass, finding Trent, who just clips one around the corner in a vertical line to Mane, who finishes brilliantly. But there was also the chance that, again, the same three players work the space for Harvey, primarily finding the space, and then Trent playing a delightful ball through to Mane, who just put one over the top on the run. It was great football, and it's something that which we'll keep an eye on. I'm not so sure we'll see so much of that if it's, let's say, Thiago adopting that position, but it's a really interesting option for us to have with Harvey Elliott, and obviously we know a fully fit Oxlade-Chamberlain can do it as well. Some other promising points from the game were obviously Joel Matip being superb, Virgil van Dijk being Virgil van Dijk, and Alisson Becker reminding us that they are three of the best defensive players in world football, and you know, should all three stay fit this season, then we'll be there or thereabouts, top class players, all three of them. Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood, you know what you're going to be up against when you play against them. Obviously Ashley Barnes gets right into us early on with the disallowed goal. Essentially Burnley practically had no choice but to go with those two up top, given that Ashley Westwood was injured. So yeah, knew what we were up against, but the boys handled it well. Obviously, moving forwards, Champions League group draw, they were a bit late to it, obviously, weren't they? So we were sat there wondering what was going to happen. I think the main thing to note really is, whilst, you know, people have obviously been saying that we've got a tough group, and I'm not going to lie, we have, it is a tough group, there's some high class European calibre in that group, the main thing to say really is that we were probably the team in pot two that everyone wanted to avoid, in truth, aren't we? So, you know, we can be sat here thinking it's a group of death, but even more so Milan and Atletico and Porto are thinking that their luck's down a little bit on this one. In terms of the draw in totality, Group A is where all eyes will be, really, with City, you know, whether they get Ronaldo over the line or not, versus Messi and PSG. That's going to be a tantalising one. But the main point to say, really, is that of those groups, there are 15 Champions League titles in our group, and none in theirs. But yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge for us. Obviously, we know the quality of Atletico Madrid. They were excellent last season, and they've added Mateus Cunha and Rodrigo De Paul this summer, both players that we'd been either linked to or you know, had watched over the years, both players which probably could and would have improved our squad had we got them in. They're both good footballers, seem to fit our sort of profile of player. Atletico have added that to an already great squad, and it's a tough place to go, as we know. So yeah, but I think, you know, whatever comes from the Atletico games, will the progression in the group will come from the other fixtures. Obviously Milan have added Olivier Giroud with his pedigree to their already good squad. They've obviously signed Tonali and Fikayo Tomori on permanent contracts now, so that's going to be an interesting one. And then obviously Porto, we tend to beat Porto, don't we? But again, high quality side when you look at the other fourth seeded teams available in the draw. But you know, as is always the case in football, momentum's going to be huge, and if we can go into the opening phases of the Champions League with continued impressive form in the league, starting this Saturday against Chelsea, then on our day we beat anyone, don't we, really? So yeah, I'm aware that obviously it's a tough draw, but feeling confident as well. As I am about the Chelsea game, I must say, I thought they put a fairly poor Arsenal team aside. I didn't necessarily think they were wildly impressive. Obviously, Lukaku's got a very different proposition playing against Matip and Van Dijk than he did against Rob Holding and Pablo Mari. I think if we can keep the supply to him quiet, then we'll win the game. But again, as is often the case with the Liverpool against Chelsea fixtures, the game will be won or lost in midfield. Their European Player of the Year, Jorginho, who knows who he'll be up against, obviously with Fabinho's recent family tragedy, Henderson Henderson was great against Burnley, but whether he does two games in a row coming back or not, who knows? I should imagine we'll probably go with Naby Keita, Henderson and Fabinho, and I think that'll be enough to win us the game. Another question mark is whether he goes with Bobby or Jota up top. Seems hard to drop Jota at this moment in time, but we do know that Klopp likes to go with his tried and tested in these big fixtures. But, you know, such is the strength of our four attacking player options that it's a bit by the by for me, the choice. But yeah, anyway, I think we'll get over the line and enjoy the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. Strangely, I'm confident as well about Chelsea. They do worry me a lot. I think they've built a pretty formidable team there, and it's a bit of an engine, isn't it? Tuchel is very, very good at both ends. I think they're pretty tight at the back, and the arrival of Lukaku is just a totally different prospect to facing someone like Timo Werner. But I mean, it is a different look to the team. I think Lukaku is going to be fantastic. I do think it will be probably him or Salah, depending on what happens with Kane. Obviously, he scored in the Euro 2 league, didn't he? So maybe he'll hit the ground running again for Spurs, but I do think it's probably one of those three for the Golden Boot. My money, if it wasn't Salah, would be on Lukaku over Kane. But he's not as mobile in running the channels as someone like Timo Werner, so he's much more of a direct goal threat. And I think you're right, if we can stop the supply into him, which I think we'll be much better at doing than Arsenal. They were all over the shop, to be fair. There was a lot of room, wasn't there? And no one was really picking up the space in front of him. Whether or not we have Fabinho back, I don't think we're going to, because I believe he only started training a couple of days ago. But if he plays, he's obviously perfect for that role, at blocking the pass into feet. And even if it gets into Lukaku, just supporting the defenders. But I think he will hate playing against someone like Virgil van Dijk. So I assume he'll probably hang off Matip and potentially target our fullbacks, the areas in between, or being a bit of a beast in the air. If I was him, I'd be hanging towards the back post and looking to beat, you know, Trent or Robbo, or it could be Tsimikas or Robbo. I'm not sure which one will start. Another point on that as well is just, it's great to have Robertson back in contention for the first team, because it's going to be Robertson, obviously, long term, but that's an interesting battle now. And Tsimikas has definitely shown that he is more than able enough to deputise, which hopefully is a good thing, because we can actually rest Robbo a little bit. I feel like he's been really overplayed in the last, 3 years, really, because we haven't had a viable replacement option for him. And I know we don't really on the right side either, but you do have Nico Williams, who's had some minutes, and Joe Gomez could play right back as well. And obviously Milner has played at full back on both sides, I guess. So on the Champions League draw, I do think we'll progress. I actually think AC Milan will be a bit of a danger. I believe that Giroud is going to really transform them. I think he's a really good player, and definitely made, when he plays, he makes teams better. So I think they'll be dangerous, but we'll obviously be favourites there. Whether we top the group or not, I'm not sure. Atleti are strong, aren't they? It'll be great to see Suarez back at Anfield again. But the main point, I think, about the Champions League draw is, and the most annoying aspect for me, is that because it's such a difficult draw, it makes rotation a lot more challenging. So I was kind of hoping that the likes of Harvey Elliott and Oxlade-Chamberlain and Tsimikas and players like that would be required to get a lot of minutes because of those games. But realistically, maybe AC, maybe Porto. But it's difficult to rotate if you don't get good results early in the Champions League groups. So it might mean less minutes for them, and it might mean more minutes required for, you know, our big boys. But so just finishing on Chelsea then, which is obviously the game's tomorrow, I think I would actually take a draw, you know. if you offered it to me now, which is negative, and I hate saying that, to be honest, but it scares me. I think Chelsea are going to be very good this year, and I think the most important thing at this stage of the season is not losing. Keep the unbeaten stuff going, move on to the next game, and just make sure that we don't lose this one. But yeah, fingers crossed, Reds. Enjoy the game, and we will be back next week with some thoughts. And we'd do a longer episode as well. So I know Tom and I have some things in the pipeline that we're going to discuss, some hot talking points. So keep your eyes peeled for a longer, like, proper debate episode as well. But yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.